Hello and welcome to the Nokian Tyres conference call. Throughout the call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question-and-answer session. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. Please begin your meeting.
Thank you. Good afternoon from Helsinki. My name is Päivi Antola, and I am the Head of Investor Relations in Nokian Tyres. Welcome to this end-of-quarter conference call where I have with me Hille Korhonen, the President and CEO of Nokian Tyres, and Teemu Kangas-Kärki, the CFO. As usual, we will start with a couple of words from Hille and also from Teemu this time, and then we'll go to the questions from you. So Hille, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for joining us today. Before going to Q&A, I would like to disclose latest information regarding our three strategic projects that we are running at the moment. All of them are on schedule, and all of them are on cost targets. So we are very happy and excited about the proceedings of these three projects. I was yesterday visiting the heavy tires factory area in Nokia, where we are running the expansion project, and everything looks fine there. The building expansion has been completed, and we have been already getting in some new machinery, which is really needed since we need to see positive development in the markets, as stated earlier. And we are capacity limited today, so we can truly ship and sell all the products that we are producing. The other main project for us is Dayton. I was there 2 weeks ago visiting the site. We have been starting the recruitment of the core team, roughly 40 to 50 people in the first phase, couple of weeks ago, and that is proceeding as planned. The buildings start to be ready, and the first machinery has been brought in, and some of them have already been installed. So we are on track and proceeding as planned to be able to ramp up the production during this year and to start the commercial production beginning of 2020. The third important project for us is the testing track in Spain. We have finally the whole 300 hectares area in our own possession, and the earth moving works has been started in the area, and no surprises so far in the project, so that is also proceeding as planned. And the target date for completion of that project will be end of 2020, when we will have all the roughly 10 test tracks in use. So some of the tracks will be already available this year to start testing, but majority will be completed during next year. So as a summary, these all projects are important for us to implement our strategic ambition and the growth plan, and support our growth in both North America, Central Europe, and to be able to strengthen our position further in the Nordics and in Russia.
Good. Thank you, Hille. And Teemu, before we go to the questions, maybe an update on the tax disputes.
Yes. So last Friday, we got good news from the Supreme Administrative Court, and it has rejected an application for leave to appeal from the tax recipient's legal service unit in the matter of tax dispute between 2007 and 2010. It is an important milestone for us, meaning that the administrative court ruling from last May 2018 is now final, and the amount that we are now talking is 82 million euros, and we will adjust our financial reporting in the first quarter. It means that we will book this 82 million below EBIT line to improve our net result in the first quarter with this amount. Then there is still pending the year 2011. My read of the situation is that now when we got this ruling for the year 2007 and 2010, it means that the likelihood that we get a positive ruling for 2011 should be more positive than earlier. But we don't know that yet, and we will come back to that when we get information from the tax.
Good. And we already got a couple of questions in advance. I could take those before we go to the questions from the audience. The first one is about the profitability impact of the U.S. plant. So the question goes, could you give us some metrics about production costs and profitability, EBIT in absolute and percentage of the U.S. plant in 2020 and 2022, particularly compared with the Russian plant?
To the U.S. plant?
Yes.
So I go back to our Capital Markets Day presentation from last year. There we indicated that the North American ramp-up impacts our EBIT margin in the first year 2019 between 100 and 200 basis points, and in year 2020 between 200 and 300 basis points on the EBIT margin. And then in year 2021, it has a negative impact between 100 and 200 basis points on the passenger car tire EBIT margin. And in euros, as you remember, our net sales is 1.1 billion, so you can calculate that from the top line as a percentage.
Good. And the other question is about the AGM and the authorizations. The company usually asks the AGM for authorization for buyback of shares, and it has been done for next AGM as well for 5 million shares. In the past, the company never conducted the buyback authorized. Is there an intention to execute the buyback on the market?
As you know, here in Finland, it's quite common practice that the companies ask the authorization to repurchase the company own shares. In our case, as you stated in the question, we haven't utilized that in earlier years, and at the moment there is no concrete plan other than asking the authorization from the AGM.
Okay, good. And now, operator, we would be ready for questions from the audience, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question, then please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel, and there will be a brief pause while questions are being registered. And our first question comes to the line of Akshat Kakar from JP Morgan. Please go ahead. Your line is now open. Akshat? And it seems like he's not available at the moment, so we go to the next question, which is from Sasha Dormer from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. I have two. The first one is on the tax dispute. The impact will only be on your P&L, as far as I'm aware, right? So you only have then a change of receivables into cash on the balance sheet. Is that the correct understanding? Or is there any other impact in the cash flow balance sheet that we should be aware of? That would be the first question.
There's no impact on the cash flow, so only in the profit and loss statement and clearly equity.
Okay, understood. And then the second question, given your three strategic projects, can you talk a little bit about the CapEx evolvement by quarter over 2019, just to get a better understanding of how you foresee cash outs happening over the course of the year?
So we have given the guidance on an annual level, and I want to stick on that, as we have not communicated that on a quarterly level. So we have been saying that this year will be the peak in our CapEx program, roughly on a level of 300 million.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Akshat Kakar from JP Morgan. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thank you, Akshat from JP Morgan. I just wanted to touch upon the point you mentioned at the end of 2018 of pulling out some volumes from Europe given the high price pressure you saw in the market. Can you give us an update on the European market as it stands right now? And the second question is, how do your volumes look into the first quarter, given we have seen slightly weaker OE volumes in your key markets, both in Russia as well as the Nordics?
When looking at the 2019 overall, we do not have very, very good visibility to what is happening in Central Europe, so it's quite limited due to the fact that the new car sales has some impact on the replacement market as well, as it's impacting also the OE sales. So what we have stated in the fourth quarter 2018 call is still valid. So the market situation is not expected to improve in the short term, but difficult to make any statements regarding the quarter because of the poor visibility.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And just as a reminder, if you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of Asha Karim from Jefferies. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
My questions, I've got two. The first one is just, do you have any comment on where your inventory levels are? Because I think at the end of 2018, you mentioned that you might have produced a bit more tires in 2018 than what you sold. So given the weak start to the year in Europe, maybe if you can comment on where your inventory levels are and where your production is running relative to sales. That's the first question. And then secondly, I'm just curious to know as to how much of a flexibility do you have in terms of allocating products to various regions? Because if you look at the start of this year, North America has continued to be strong, or continued the strength shown in 2018, and Europe continues to be weak. So you know, would you say at the start of 19 now then decide to allocate more volumes towards the US? Is that how can the business be run that way given your relatively smaller size?
As a company, we are running the capacity and looking at the capacity as a whole. So it means that we are making the allocation decisions on a monthly basis. However, when you look at the North American market, for example, it takes quite a long time to ship the tires to the North American market. So we actually start to deliver during the springtime already the winter tires. So the lead time to make changes between, for example, Europe and North America is quite long. And when looking at the capacity utilization, what we have communicated last year is that due to the limited visibility to demand in Central Europe, we are ramping up the capacity in Nokia, or increasing the capacity in Nokia more controlled way, meaning that we are then able to go down with the production days during the year as needed. And it's also good to remember that as we are producing 70% of our total passenger car tire production, we are producing winter tires, and the winter tire season is quite short time, so it means that we are all the time as well balancing between the winter and summer tires in our production, depending on the market.
Okay.
So we are doing the balancing activities all the time.
Yeah, but if I understand what you just said, is that even though North America is strong, it might take some time for you to actually translate that into your volume. So on a nearer term basis, you're likely to be more impacted by the weakness that we see in Europe.
Well, we are taking these decisions on a monthly basis, depending on the market need.
Thank you.
And then what comes to the inventory levels, as we are now so toward the end of the quarter, maybe this is not the time when we want to give an update on that, just to repeat what we said in the Q4, what we said about the inventory levels in the trade.
In the trade, yes. I was thinking the question was about our inventory levels, but of course we are tracking what is happening in the channel as well. And clearly, the summer tire inventories are on a higher level, both in Central Europe and in Russia, due to weaker sales from last summer season. And especially the Russian summer tire inventory levels will not go down before the next season, because most of the market is now still having winter tires at the moment.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes on the line of Mattias Holmberg from DNB. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thank you. I was just wondering if you please could give an update maybe on how the pricing development has been lately, in particular what you've seen sort of in, if we group the markets by where you're leading, so the Nordics and Russia versus the markets where you're more price followers, as I would call it, say Central Europe and North America. Thank you.
Thank you. So the pricing situation in the Nordics and Russia has been, I would say, quite normal and stable compared to previous years. In Russia, we have been taking up some prices and making some adjustments between the different product categories, but nothing radical, I would say.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Thomas Bisson from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thank you very much. Just two quick questions for me, please. Can you give us an update on your shareholding structure, and notably on the stake held by your Japanese competitor, if you have an update on that topic? And second, I'd like you to come back to the answer on the buyback. I'm not sure I understood. So I understand that it's a principle to have the possibility to buy back, but can you just repeat the management view on the possibility to eventually buy back shares at one point? Or is there a price point at which you would be buying back shares eventually?
Okay, so I take the first question. The ownership of Bridgestone in Nokian Tyres is currently between 5 to 10%. level.
And with regards to the authorization on the repurchase of company owned shares, just repeating what I said, it is a common practice in Finland, and I don't want to start commenting anything beyond that because it is up to the board to decide, and we inform if the board decides something.
Okay, great, thank you.
Thank you. And as another reminder, if you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes on the line of Bern Erntroth from Barry Staines Linoleum. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thank you very much. There are recent reports that car sales in Russia are on an annual basis down by 10 to 12, up to 15%, depending on which report you read. Doesn't it have a big impact on your sales or your margins in a negative way somehow? Thank you.
Yeah, maybe first to comment on the new car sales. There was a VAT change beginning of the year, and it looks like quite a few people have been incentivized to buy the cars end of 2018. And when we look at the new car sales impact on replacement tire market, it's representing one-third of the market. So two-thirds of the replacement market is driven by the replacement cycle, which is usually 3 to 4 years, meaning that it's impacted by the amount of cars sold, for example, in 2015 and 2016.
Thank you.
Thank you. And as there are no further questions, I will hand back to the speaker for any closing comments.
Thank you. If there are no additional questions, then we'll finish the call here and I wish you all a good day. Thank you.
This now concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.